This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
It is snowy here today.
I love it. I'd rather it be snowy than rainy.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so much more beautiful, but both end up with mud and slush. So I know. It ends Listen, the same end result.
You don't live in the city.
Do you?
You don't even know.
But you know what I do know about?
What?
Muddy backyard from construction and my dog bringing his 100 fucking pound ass into my house full of mud.
You do know that.
That's what I got.
You,
what
got, do you got. You really got. I got nothing. You win. This is a competition. Oh. Who has a muddier area?
With muddier area. Probably considering I live in farm country.
Yeah.
We're rocking a ton of mud.
I was saying we had like a clinician get together. I was saying when you go to Emily's house, because I'm in the city, Emily's like in the suburbs, is saying when you go to Emily's house, it's like you lose service.
But you actually do.
I know.
But there's goats on the corner of my house.
Are they just like roaming?
Yes. There's like a... No. You've never seen the goats?
Like a wild goat?
Did you know that when I pick up my daughter from school... Wait, this is so fucking funny. Okay. I pick up my daughter from school every day, pull out... The house next to her school has 2 potbelly pigs in harnesses on leashes outside.
What are their names?
I don't know. I've never stopped to talk
to them. You should. You haven't talked to them?
They are huge. Wow. Remember when micro pigs were a thing?
I do remember that.
I was like, I'm going to get one. And then, you know, apparently came out that was like abusive.
Yes. And I also, there was a point where I was like, I want a hedgehog.
Cause, like, oh, hedgehogs were big cool. For a while. Yeah.
Or like those fly. I feel like they're illegal, though. You're not supposed to do that. So this isn't what we're talking about today.
But, well, we can talk about we're talking about today's sibling relationships. But growing up, though, you had a dog. Did you have cats, too, or just dogs?
I had multiple things. I had a dog. Okay. Her name was Maggie. She was out of control. I had a turtle.
Sheldon died. Oh, Shelly died.
Shelly was once alive. Then I had Sheldon. And then... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where Sheldon went. We had my brother, speaking of siblings, had 2 salamanders.
Ew. That one grosses me out.
I don't know what was going on. We had like a reptile family. That's my so dad had a whole fish tank. My dad's really into fish.
Oh, well, your dad still has a big fish tank in his office.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot to take care of. But anyway, we're...
Wait, did you have cats?
No. Had no cats.
Don't your parents have a ton of cats now?
Now they have 2 cats. One of them passed away.
R.I.P. kitty cat.
I know. R.I.P. Bonnie.
But it's interesting because right now my daughter's only sibling is a dog because I have an only child. But today we're going to talk about sibling relationships. And whenever you talk about sibling relationships, everyone has something to say about only children. So in defense of only children, I'm going to say this shit is hard and it's very expensive. And I understand why parents have only children.
There you go. There's the support.
To say is everyone says, well, don't you want to give your kid a sibling? But sometimes you forget that you're living through a pandemic. And we just simply can't do anything else anymore. Or people can't have more babies.
Exactly.
Like
That's
me.
An aggressive thing to say.
Right? I know. But let's talk about sibling relationships.
And also, I think we've said this before on the podcast, just because you have a sibling doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have a good relationship.
And we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about what happens and what is the outcome when there is a negative sibling relationship. So let's get to it. Today's episode of Shrink Chicks, let's talk about siblings.
So Emily and I are both younger siblings.
Yes.
We both have older brothers. So we want to talk about there's social benefits, there's cognitive benefits, mm-hmm. there's emotional benefits to having a sibling. Because when you're younger and you're working on developing your social skills, you have kind of like a partner in crime who can teach you all those things.
Yeah, it's funny. As we're recording this, I didn't think about how this might end up not so well when my husband listens to this episode. Oh. And he has more fuel in his tank of why we need many more children.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. We really did.
So could you maybe add in all about all the
bad things? So there's also some bad things, too, about okay. having siblings, Aaron.
And if you have an only child right now and you are done having kids, do not feel like this episode is telling you to have more.
Right.
That's a personal choice. We're just talking about it. Okay.
We're just chatting about it. We're just giving you some facts. But yes. That's okay. Listen, and this is only in certain circumstances. So it really, growing up with siblings can significantly alter a kid's childhood. Mm-hmm. Because also if you think about it, and this isn't always the case, it's like someone else who has experienced an environment similar to what you experienced growing up.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Well, I think not the same. One of the things we've talked about before is like that example of the car accident, right? Which is that like all I can be in the car with me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. We get into a car accident. We all come out with very different injuries. And so I think often people are like,
It's a depressing example.
I know. But, right, like this example, a client will come in and be like, I don't understand. I have all this anger towards my parents, but my brother doesn't. And he feels like he's a fine relationship. But just because you grew up with these siblings doesn't mean you necessarily had the same family experience as they did.
I think, too, sometimes that can be so invalidating, yeah. right? Because if you have the shared environment and you're going through different things, especially if you're years apart, right, that you had different experiences because your parents were at different ages when they had you. Also, they had different experience, you know, they had different experiences before that, right? When you have your first kid, I assume there's a lot more pressure,
yes.
a lot more stress. It's the first time you're doing everything.
And well, that's what they say, right? So when you go into like some of these aspects of like a firstborn kid, right, they tend to be unfortunately, no one likes to do this. They tend to be smarter. I can tell you for sure my brother's smarter than
mine
me.
Mine too.
Right, like IQ-wise. Emotionally, I'm smarter. But, right, and for children. Me and too. It's usually because, one, parents spend more individual time with them. Parents take it incredibly seriously. They also tend to be a little bit more, firstborns tend to be a little bit more rigid and controlled. And that often has to do because of anxiety coming from their parents at that time.
Rule followers.
Yes, rule followers. Exactly. So you see this really distinct thing. It's funny because we are later borns. Nikki here, though, is a firstborn. And you are. Nikki is such a firstborn.
We need her. We right? need a firstborn in our crew.
You are the only firstborn we have. Yeah. And would you say, and you're such a rule follower, would you say rigid and controlling can sometimes come up for you? 1,000. She said 1,000%. Okay. So, right, we're like later borns because parents were like a little bit easier. There was less rules. We got away with more shit. And sometimes older borns can then become very resentful of later borns because of this. And so some of the things that happen in the sibling dynamics, which like I should have had you watch Encanto before this, because Encanto goes into some of this.
Emily has been talking about Encanto.
If you have not watched Encanto, I don't care if you have a child. I'm actually going to encourage you to not watch it with a child. I'm going to encourage you to watch it, light a candle, have an experience.
Light a candle.
Drink some tea, have an inner world experience about these birth orders and basically control and perfectionism as a trauma response.
I love tea. I've really gotten into tea lately, just as an aside.
Good for
okay,
you.
Also, gender plays out in sibling relationships.
Okay, I want to hear
Did
more
Did you
about
know?
That.
Boys with older sisters tend to endorse more egalitarian gender roles, perhaps reflecting their experience growing up with a female peer who was always older, bigger, faster, stronger, and smarter than you. Bold statement.
That is... do you know what that research article is?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote statement. It down if you guys want the research article. Measures of conflict were higher in the female than in the male cohort, and cohesion was higher in the male than in the female cohort. Other findings reveal that among firstborn siblings, the level of perception of conflict is higher than among middle siblings.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
That's very interesting, specifically about the cohesion is higher in the male. So they're saying brothers are closer than sisters?
Also, this is like a study, right? So like it's not going to be the case in every
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, like what's the population here? Now
but
we have
I would
to go
say
through.
my husband has three brothers.
Yeah, he does.
And they're all, you know, they've wavered over the years, but they're all very close. Like he just calls one up to talk. He talked to one the other day just about what dinner was like growing up. And it's once again, they had such a shared experience, mm-hmm. even though they were all, you know, certain years apart. And something about it where they don't really fight, you know, there's no like tension or arguments. And if there are, it happens real quick and it's over.
Well, the interesting part is this type of study are not taking into account blended families or families where there's a huge age gap.
Yes.
Like my husband and his oldest sister, I think there was like a 13-year, no, that can't be right, 10-year age gap. You know, like something like yeah. really, like that's like a tremendous amount of huge. Time, right? So like, I do think these kind of things are talking about like, you know, children that may be closer together and in one family unit yes. without blended families and having different, you know, half siblings come in.
Because also, too, like a 10-year age gap, you're basically, sometimes you're like an only child.
I mean, well, that first child was for a decade.
Right. Right.
That makes a big difference.
So you have to take all of this in context yeah. as everything that we say.
But I think we get a lot of these things, right? So like the family dynamics of what happened in my childhood, right? I had a very difficult relationship with my brother growing up. And now as an adult, I want to make that work with them. Or I have feelings towards my parents that they always lean on me and they don't go to my brother. Like these are a lot of things that come up. You should just smile that just came out of your face.
Yeah. That feels right.
Do you want to, how does that make you feel?
You know, I'm still processing. No, but I think you're right. I think yeah. that, and something we wanted to talk about too, is how parents too treating their children in different ways. Like sometimes my brother would get to do things, obviously, that I wouldn't get to do. And their answer wasn't always because he's older. It was because he's a boy.
Yikes.
I know.
I wonder how they feel about that now.
Probably the same.
Okay.
I don't know if they've changed their views.
That one didn't
much.
Change. Okay. Well, and I think that, okay, so it's interesting because we talk about it like when we talk about family theories, right? We talk often about Bowen's level of differentiation, right? We've talked about differentiation before on the show. It's the ability to respond and not react. But the other thing Bowen talked about was the child who had the lowest level of differentiation from his parents, meaning typically the most enmeshed or most overly connected with. They are going to end up being the favored child, but that is not necessarily a role that's beneficial towards them.
Right.
So there's this feeling of like, oh, I really want to be the favorite. The issue, though, is the favorite often gets more responsibility put on. They are the one people tend to be codependent with them. They then struggle to make their own family in a relationship. So this idea of like, and people I feel like for a long time sort of shit on middle children, but this is where the middle children get away with more because they didn't get to be the oldest. They didn't get to be the youngest.
Fly under the radar.
They get to move across the country and have space and have, you know what I mean? Oh, but there's a huge feather on
pompous grass on you.
And so these middle children, they get to have like a lot more peace. And so there's this thought of like, do they get to go live their own life? And then there's can be often resentment from oldest and youngest in that.
Or is there this feeling of, I wasn't heard or I wasn't seen, right? And I think that's a common feeling that children feel in general, right? Not being yes. heard or not being seen. And I think birth order can really affect how much you might feel that, right? Especially if you have a ton of siblings, right? And if you have a ton of siblings, if there's a lot of kids, often the older ones are expected to take care of the younger ones
especially
as they get older. So
yeah.
you can also talk about parentification and how easily older children are parentified when there's a ton of kids because parents are understandably so overwhelmed, mm-hmm. right? There's only so much they can do. So I think parentification so easily happens.
Okay, so can I tell a story?
Please.
Okay, so on the way back from Christmas, which everyone knows, you spend the holidays with your family and then you got to fight with your siblings. You got to fight with your spouse for a week. So
that's fun. I love
so
that.
Spent 5 days with my in-laws. And then, of course, you know, there's a big fight. But we are also driving home with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law and my husband often treat their youngest sister, who there's a huge, big age gap with for everyone. Mm-hmm. She gets so infantilized and they've become so parentified. They'll be like, I'm going to call her and talk to her about that. I'm like, what are you, her fucking dad? Like, you know, like, so for me and my family, like, that's like my brother and I don't police each other. because that's not, we're only 2 years apart, and it's just, like, never a role that was, like, put on us. But I think in their family, it was different, so there was some policing and some parenting of the younger sibling, right. And it changes up the whole dynamic. Because also then that sibling's not sharing information with them the same way. They feel judged and criticized by them. So we really do see this very interesting parentification or infantilization that comes up with the sibling dynamics.
Right. And it changes their relationship with their sister.
Yeah.
Right. Where instead of it being this like friendship or this. And I think sometimes too, it's hard to make that adjustment. Like as your sibling, especially if they're younger, as they get older. And adjusting to the fact that they're becoming an adult, right? And like where they maybe always see her as someone who's younger. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's you know, something that I think a younger sibling fights with.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Did you ever feel that in your dynamic, like you were treated like the younger one?
No, I don't. My brother had way more anxiety than I did as a young child. So I often felt like I felt like the older sibling, and especially as the only girl, like I feel like I was kind of like the like, don't do that, Jake. Like, you know, like I was like sort of the annoying controlling one.
I did that.
Because I was more rigid. And he was always like getting into trouble and stuff. Like my brother was like literally always in trouble in high school because he's always doing bad shit. Like he like was getting in trouble because he was like also like really testing the limits, you know? And I think I has always been a people pleaser and always wanted my parents to like me. My dad also traveled a ton, so I was like very obsessed with my dad liking me a lot because I only saw him 2 days a week. And I think all these different dynamics, and so my brother and I do not think that we had a very good childhood together. I think if he was here right now, he would definitely agree. He thought I was totally fucking annoying and bratty, and I thought he was such a douchebag. And now, as adults, we have gotten way more closer a lot because of his wife and that relationship. But it is a very hard thing to do, to sort of look at someone in your adult years, let that stuff go, and say, how do I now have an adult relationship with this person?
Absolutely.
That we did some really mean stuff. Like, siblings do, like, some fucked up shit to each other.
I grabbed my brother's hair. Yeah. I think I kicked a hole in the wall because he was being too loud once.
I would love to watch you get sister angry.
Oh, God. It's a different type of angry, too.
It's gotta be. Right? I mean, it's an unhinged.
Unhinged is right? A perfect word for
it. Right? Because also, they're your sibling. They're not going anywhere.
Nothing's gonna happen.
You let it fly, man. So, like, that stuff you say, like, if you think about what's the meanest shit you've ever done to your sibling, you probably don't feel very good about yourself.
Yeah, no. I think I was in a constant battle between, like, wanting my brother to like me and like gaining his approval, and then wanting my parents to like me and gaining their approval. I was like in a constant, right? And sometimes if they were at odds, it's like, what side would I be on?
I still feel that now in adulthood.
I do too.
Yeah, I can still feel that now. Like, even in childhood, that is something that I can get caught up on, is like wanting to like reconnect with my brother and be very close to him, but also like still really wanting to like be my parents' favorite. And the goody juju's, which is funny because, like, my husband was also, like, kind of the golden child. And so the two of us totally do it with both of our parents now.
Really works out.
No, it's horrible influences. It does not work out. So why you should marry your opposite. Don't marry someone who's just like you.
Right. Little bit of a battle there.
It's a bit of a battle, right?
So, yeah, I think, you know, but I think that absolutely plays a role. Like, when I was growing up, and I still kind of feel this way, I thought everything my brother did was, like, the coolest thing ever. And
I would just, but your brother is really cool.
I know. And so I still feel like everything he does is very cool. And so
I feel like your brother also got to be much more of himself, his authentic self, at an earlier age.
Yes.
And you didn't get that as much. Like, that was, like, I feel like that took, like, much later in your life to come out.
I don't know. I feel like I think it took a time for him to feel like he could be himself too. And I think, but I do think it was just, he's much more extroverted than I am. Mm. It was just bursting out of him. You know, he was just himself. I was just much more quiet. I was like an observer. My grandparents told me that they didn't hear me speak until I was like 16.
What?
I mean, they're like exaggerating, but pretty much. Like, I was so quiet. I would not speak.
But you were also kicking doors and walls.
Except for that. That I was just unhinged at that point.
That's because you let out.
So, but it's a good example of, like, sometimes with your sibling, you feel like, at least for me, it felt like that was the place where I could just fully be myself.
Yeah.
And fully express myself. And we talk about when you have siblings, sometimes it helps you to express yourself in a different way. Like, I was a very quiet child, even though I was very emotional, and I felt like with my brother, I still feel this way. Like, he's one of the people that I can turn to and talk to about things. He was also my best man at my wedding. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, well, usually it's a maid of honor.
He's my man of honor.
Yes.
That felt like the one place where I could, like, really be myself and just express myself. And if I wanted to be unhinged, I could be completely unhinged. I could kick a hole in the wall. And so sometimes there's a space there to feel like you can be yourself with your sibling in a way where you don't.
So, but I feel like you could, like, I had, like, a ton of conflict with my brother growing up. Like, I feel very much like my brother very badly bullied me. And I bet if he was here, he'd probably say that I bullied him back.
Really?
Right? We're like, okay, so I grew up next door to my best friend. So I always had a friend to hang out with. My brother did not have that. So at a very early age, I always had another girl next door to hang out with. And I think my brother really got left out.
Oh.
And his way of trying to get back in was never a great vulnerable way. It was more of a childlike male way of, like, you know, pulling all the heads off my Barbie dolls and locking me in my bedroom.
That is the worst, when all the Barbie dolls don't have their heads on. How do you play with them?
Yeah, you could snap them back in, but it was very traumatic as a child.
That's like a nightmare.
Yes, right? So, like, I think that there was part also where, like, I had a lot of resentment towards my brother as I got into high school. And then really I went to college, he was in college, right? Like, we had like a lot of time away, and that's when I was able to like sort of look at him and see him as a person who also had a difficult thing, and I could like really humanize him more. But I think for a lot of people, when you experienced feeling very bullied and having a difficult sibling relationship, that really goes into these adult relationships of how the fuck am I now supposed to like have our kids play together and hang out together, and like that shit's still there whether you want to act like it or not,
right? Like, it sticks with you. Yeah. And just because they're your sibling doesn't mean you're not getting bullied, right? People are just be like, oh, they're playing, like it's just siblings. No, but like, you're getting bullied. And that can really affect you. Mm-hmm. That can really play a role. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, how your relationship with your parents can really affect you, right? Like, if you have a critical parent, but if you have a sibling that's also very critical of you and is maybe taking a lot of their stuff out on you, right? They're a kid too, so they're probably going through a lot, but that can really affect you as you're growing up, to be hearing things that are when someone's being critical of you or being critical of who you are, or you're not feeling included, or if there's more tension on that sibling and you're not being seen in some way. Like, there's something that can really play a role, I think, more than we give it credit. And that's another reason why we went to this episode, because I don't think we've talked about it enough.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other interesting studies, right? So there was a few studies that came out about how younger siblings teach empathy to their older siblings and brothers and sisters.
Do you feel like you did that?
Did I teach my brother empathy? I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. My answer would be no, but now I'll have to ask him that question. Do you think you taught yours?
I think my brother was pretty empathetic.
Your brother's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's a...
My brother doesn't have a big emotional capacity.
Okay.
I think my brother really learned to shove his feelings down real deep, real early in life.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, that happens, right? So I don't think I brought it. I think probably the emotion I brought out from him was anger. My thing growing up was like, it's not fair. And his thing was, I was here first.
He was.
So he used to always say, I was here first. And I used to say, that's not fair. And that should be on both of our gravestones.
Listen, if you die first, which I hope doesn't happen.
Make sure mine says.
I will.
It wasn't fair. I do feel like that about life. I wish it was not fair. All right. And so I think for my brother, I kind of came in and a little bit rained on his parade. You know, like, apparently I was a very easy baby. I think he was also in toddlerhood, a more difficult time in life. So where I got to be the cute little easy baby that came in, right? Like, and that affects stuff that he's like, I want to kill this little baby, right? Like, she's like, fuck, I was here first and she fucked up my perfect life.
I think that happens often too.
Yes.
Right? Because they're not used to having someone else to share the spotlight with.
Well, and your parents' attention, right? That's so hard, right? Think about how difficult that is when you're a little kid and you deeply need your parents right there. It feels so important. And they're like, oh, well, I got to go nurse this baby or change her diaper again. And like, infants are very needy.
I think that could be like a small T trauma too for kids, right? Where they go from having this parental figure that's, you know, tending to all of their needs, they're the focus, and then they are losing that at such a young age, right?
Like, for a lot of kids.
For a lot of kids, it's a very young age to be losing that.
Yeah.
And when you're second, third, fourth child, you are born into a world where you're already sharing that.
Well, and we're also then discounting, are those parents burnt out? Are they sleep deprived? Was there any issues where they ended up in the NICU or away from older child? There's
also
so many
what's
things
going
that
on
can
in
happen.
Their marriage what's at ha- oh, the yeah. time.
Yes, exactly, right? So that's when we talk about everything happens within context. All of this stuff, when you look at this research, what it typically takes out is context. Everything matters about what else is going on in the systems around to figure out what is happening here between these two people.
Hey,
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/stringchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/stringchicks. masterclass.com/stringchicks. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Very young children with older siblings tend to develop a theory of mind or ability to put themselves in someone else's shoes a bit earlier than their peers.
I like this. That researcher said, if you have siblings, it makes sense. No one teaches you how to push your buttons better or earlier than a sibling. That's a skill that requires a well-developed theory of mind. It's so true. I knew exactly how to piss off my brother.
Right.
Don't you, like, really know how to screw with your
sibling? Also, I think you develop a way to, like, deal with conflict, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're dealing with conflict from a very early age. And I don't know if, you know, when you're trying this out, I don't know if the way to deal with it is to, like, kick a hole in the wall or to scream at them or... but I think it's practice, right? Like, gives you practice for other peer relationships. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're not doing that in your peer relationships, but... it gives you a level of practice in that ability to kind of see. And if your parents are able to, if they're there to kind of help you guys work through it or kind of help you talk through it in a certain way or develop a level of fairness in the relationship, which isn't always possible, that can really help you kind of work through these conflicts in a different way.
Yeah. So I less optimistic research linked sibling bullying to depression, anxiety, and self-harm. So let's talk a little bit, because, like, if you're a parent listening to this, you might be like, oh, fuck me, I'm pregnant right now. I'm bringing another one in, or like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? So I think it's important to remember that there's, like, things you can do to, like, help foster sibling relationships. And one of those things includes, like, individual relationships with both your children. And so that you do try to reduce that parental preference, right? That does not mean that everything is going to be fairly cut all the time. That's unrealistic. That is like a stand. That's a setup for failure, because it could never happen. But how do I make time to be with child A, to be with child B, to be with child C, and truly understand and know them as people and help them cultivate and create some mastery in their life?
And to not compare your children. I think that can be...
oof, that's got to be so hard.
I was just going to say, I think that can be so tough for people.
I mean, parents are so human. And also, parents are growing up at the same exact time as their kids.
Right. And so, but that's important. Your children are two very different people. And, you know, to say to your one kid, oh, well, Jimmy is doing this, this, and this. Why can't you? Yeah. Right? It keeps them from the ability to develop their own sense of self, right? Where you're just constantly being compared to others. Sometimes then they grow up comparing themselves to everyone around them, because maybe that's the way that they found self-worth or they found love in the relationship. So that's something to be very wary of, is mm-hmm. to not compare your children.
And the other thing the research really does indicate is if your siblings are being aggressive towards each other, that you should intervene. Aggression within the home does have potential for these adverse outcomes in childhood, right? So I think very much like parents would be like, oh, well, I want them to sort out themselves. And yeah, if they're fighting over like a toy, you can let that happen. But if there is aggression, then like that's where they're saying, that's when like research is agreed it becomes problematic.
Yeah. I mean, it's really.
You want to talk about kicking a hole in the wall?
I know. I'm like,
you weren't kicking him. I don't know. I think kicking a hole in the wall, you know, one or a few times to get aggression out, I don't see that as like an overly aggressive thing. But what it does tell me is that you needed some additional coping skills.
I didn't have them.
How to handle that.
I did not have them.
You probably also didn't have verbalization.
I mean, clearly, my grandparents said they didn't hear me speak till I was 16. I couldn't say a word. But I also think I had very thin walls, right? Like, how strong was I as like a, you know, those walls had to be pretty thin.
Right. I know you're such a little asparagus.
Like, right. Like, can you picture me like kicking in a wall? No, never. Like,
I think the wall would just kick you back.
I think it did. I was like, fuck, never doing that again.
Another thing is they talk about is, you know, the reality is like we live in a world that there's divorce. And so they do talk about how siblings can help each other in times of adversity, family trauma, and of divorces. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't like to think about that kind of stuff when you're planning on having kids, but it is something to keep in mind.
Right, because they can, once again, as we said, it's like a shared experience that you're going through together. Yeah. Something that, you know, your peers aren't necessarily going through. Maybe they're going through it, but not in the same way. And so to be able to bond with someone who's going through a similar experience, sometimes that can unfortunately bring you closer, because you're experiencing these tough times together. It's almost like this is terrible. And
you're going to say trauma bond, aren't you?
Well, I was going to say when people get like hazed.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
Which is like no good.
Which is no good, but it makes them very close.
I think that's apparent.
I was in a sorority and I was hazed.
It made
us very close.
Exactly. My sorority.
Wouldn't recommend it.
My sorority did not haze.
Of course you joined the nice girl sorority and I didn't. what a surprise there.
But there's something about, I think that that's the goal, right? When people get hazed, that it kind of bonds you together.
I think people just want to take shit out on other people.
Oh, that's horrible.
Like, I think that's what they say, but also I think they just want to bully.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, I was pretty close with my,
Yeah, right. Like, I don't think you need the hazing. I think there's a lot of ways to like to have closeness that like does not include hazing. Okay. But the number one thing everyone wants to know is the action of what the fuck do I do now, right? Like, let's say I had a tumultuous relationship with a sibling growing up, and now as an adult, I would like to have a closer, more cohesive relationship. And so what do you think is the best? What would you recommend?
I think first doing your own internal work around the pain that you have from your sibling relationship growing up. I think that's really important. Yeah. Because just as we said, you know, we talk a lot about how parenting can affect us growing up and how maybe we didn't get our needs met. But also having a difficult sibling relationship can have such an effect on us. We carry that with us. We might carry it into our adult relationships without even realizing it.
We don't really
consider the effect that that can have on the way in which we see these models of relationships in our adult life. So I think being very present with yourself to say, okay, how did my sibling relationship affect my relationships as an adult? How might that be playing a role? How did the role that I was taking in my sibling relationships affect the role that I play in my adult relationship? So I think the awareness around how it may have played a role and may still play a role in your adult relationships, and also how you feel when you actually see that sibling, whether they're around or not. If they're not around, right, how do you grieve that relationship, or like what does that look like? So I think it all starts first with doing some of your own internal work as an adult.
And then I wonder what it would be like to directly say to your sibling, hey, I'd like us to be closer.
That's vulnerable.
Do you have any interest in that too? Would you like to go bowling together?
Bowling?
I picked an activity.
Do you like bowling?
No, but I just feel like sometimes like dinner is too vulnerable.
Yeah.
Sitting across from each other. Well, you sit next to your husband.
I love sitting next. I am that. We're that couple.
I know you are.
I love
but
I mean, it.
But I feel like when you're right, like one of the things we recommend when you're trying to move to the next stage in a relationship is like doing activities, making new memories together, right? Going to see a museum exhibit, going to bowling, going to the movies, right? Like there's things you can
playing
do that's
cards.
Not just like going out to eat and not drinking. Now let's talk about how sometimes what people will do is triangulate something in to diffuse the stress and anxiety. So what they'll do is they'll bond over talking shit on their parents, or they'll bond over drinking together, right? Those are all types of triangulation, and it might work at the beginning, but then there's going to be a come down from that, because it doesn't actually help you make those strong, fulfilling bonds. When you're like, especially when it's like a talking shit type of situation, then you just start to be like, oh, well, then what's he saying to the other person?
Right.
So like, think about how do I, if I really genuinely want to go deeper in this relationship, have us become closer, what are the things we're going to do that's in a healthy way, not just what feels like easy and fun?
Right. And like bowling might be a good triangulation. You're like triangulating the bowling.
Well, yeah, because you're like, okay, I'm going to go. So, like, you don't have to talk the whole time. That's what I mean. Like, you can do right. an activity when you're going to a museum, look at the art, look at something like
triangulate
that.
Triangulate the art.
Right? Have something else to talk about that's not, like, somebody else in our life, or, like, bonding over, like, the gossip part of it.
Right. And you are developing. So the goal is to develop a different type of relationship in adulthood than yeah. what you had when you were a kid.
Okay.
If those relationships were difficult, right? Like, And I think that transition can be hard, making that transition into, okay, well, how do I develop a different type? How do I get to know this person as an adult and really be able to bond with them like I would bond with others?
Yeah. How do you make a relationship? The same way, how would you make a friendship, right? It's going to take some time. It doesn't mean that it feels the most comfortable at the beginning, but when you actively and intentionally try, that's where the growth comes from. But we have a Dear Em and Jen. Are you ready for it?
Nope.
Do you have it?
It's coming.
You
Hold
got it.
On.
Oh, wait. I could probably pull it up right here. Boop-boop-doo. We're the most ill-prepared.
Ill-prepared.
I can't see that.
My I got
eyes,
it.
My eyesight's so bad.
Dear Em and Jen, my mom treats my little sister entirely different than me. She and my sister are both doctors, and I went into a different field, finance. I think she resents me for going against the family norm and has stopped asking about my career. I feel like she's less interested in my life in general. She is kinder and softer with my sister and harsher and seems to have way less patience with me. Trying to understand this has been really difficult and upsetting for me. Any insight? Thank you both. Your podcast has been such a bright spot for me these days.
Oh, that's so nice.
So nice.
Well, first of all, let's just, like, for a moment, validate how incredibly hard that must feel to have somebody who you desperately want to be gentle and nurturing with you, to watch them be able to have those skills with somebody else and not give it to you. That, one, I would also imagine impacts the sibling relationship, because it could make you resentful and jealous of your sibling.
Right. And that... the love can sometimes feel conditional, right? Like, oh, should I have been a doctor? Should I? It almost, I can imagine, might make you question yourself. But to remember that your parent might be bonding with your sibling more because they feel like they have more in common, right? Like there's something that they can connect over. And so I wonder, is there a way to work to develop a different kind of relationship with your parent in a different way? Are there things that you guys can do together? Time that you can spend where you're doing something else. Maybe it doesn't have to do with what career you're in or your sister is in. And then how do you develop a different kind of relationship with your sister? But yeah, that's really hard to watch.
And the suggestion I'd have next is going to be like something that comes after a while. Like this is what you start with because it's harder. But once you're able to do that, put yourself out there. Talk about your job. Don't wait to be asked, right? Be like, hey, here's what's happening with me, right? Like take up space in the room because you've probably made yourself a little bit smaller based on this interaction. What would it be like the next time she feels sharp with you to say, Mom, I just felt like you lost patience with me really quickly. Is everything okay? What's going on? And put it back on your mother. right? Like, you can call that out. Most likely what she's going to say is, oh, you're so sensitive, right? Because, like, that's, like, a thing that, like, people say when they get called out and nobody wants to be called out.
Yes.
And that's okay. She doesn't have to respond perfectly, but you still interrupted the pattern in the dynamic, which is what I would encourage you to do. And also make sure that you were getting the warm, soft nurturing from another place in your life when you're not getting it from her, because you deserve all of that tenderness you desire.
That was beautiful. Also, if they say you're too sensitive, you can say, okay, that might be true, but my feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't back down.
Yeah.
You can feel how you feel and your feelings are valid.
You know, Terry Real, who we love very much, has a quote in his book that says, like, the relationships are the strongest are the ones that we're willing to risk it all by saying the truth. So when I speak the truth, it's scary and it's uncomfortable and I don't like it, but the risk in there is a higher reward. And that's today's episode.
Thank you for joining us. If you feel like this would be helpful for a friend, I never do this outro.
Can you
which
remember?
Is why,
yeah, no, I always do the outro.
I'm going to do it. Wish
yeah,
me luck.
Okay, you got it.
If you think this would be helpful for a friend, send it on over to them. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And follow on Apple Podcasts, sorry. And you can also rate on Spotify these days. We got a YouTube, so check us out on YouTube. You can see our video. Very exciting. And I think that's about it. Oh, and to know yourself, you got to grow yourself. Nope. And to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.